Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Thanks so much for being with us today. Always appreciate each and every one of you every day. Don't forget, between 6 and 7 tonight, the Magic Radio with Santa. Always incredible. Our play-by-play call of the day, another Russell Wilson touchdown pass on the Seahawks radio network.
Penny in the backfield. Metcalf, far side wide. Russell's got time. He's got David Moore wide open. Moore makes the catch. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Seahawks. From 60 yards, Russ looked up, saw David Moore running right past Xavier Rhodes, and said, here you go. Serves it up on a platter.
Steve Rabel on the Seahawks radio network with the touchdown call last night. The Seahawks beat the Minnesota Vikings. I'll say this, though. They need to stop this, as far as I'm concerned. At the end of the game, they said, Kirk Cousins is now 0-8 on Monday Night Football. Like, it's its own entity? It's a game. Like, it's not a playoff game. It's just a game being played on Monday night. They got to stop this.
Like, and it's not like all eight of his games he was playing with the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football.
It doesn't matter. It's the way they treat Monday Night Football like they have their own record book. Like, their own record book? It's a game that's being played on Monday night. And guess what? You usually get, now, in recent weeks, they've had better matchups. So let's be fair there. But most of the time in recent years, they've had the worst matchups. It doesn't have the same cachet as it used to. Sunday Night Football has more cachet. All right, let's bring in Neil Coulong. Neil and I, let's say, Neil, let's go duck hunting.
As always, it's good to be here, and the weather is perfect to go shoot some ducks or watch them fly in a direction that none of us would have possibly thought was coming.
I don't know, Neil. I watch him. I still don't get it, but that's all right. I still don't.
No, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Honestly, you just watch. You just shake your head. It's like, wow. It's utterly and completely amazing. None of this makes any sense at all. And it's been a memorable year. Maybe not the best one, and maybe one much better than I thought it was going to be. And utterly amazing.
Look, I've referred to him as Mike Kruzak, and I kind of felt I was insulting Mike Kruzak. and then he goes out, and let's face it, technically, he outplayed Baker Mayfield on Saturday. It was Sunday. He was, 17-24?
Yeah, I think somewhere there.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's quote, not bad.
His number in both of them, you know, threw the game away for their respective teams in the fourth quarter. He had a solid game up until that last, but, you know, the interception he threw looked like a pretty simple miscommunication. Probably not a throw he should be making, and that's the impression that I got from James Washington watching him run his route. Not the throw he would have expected to get considering the circumstances of the game, but Hodges has done that twice now. We've seen him throw late interceptions, being extremely aggressive considering the position the team was in. I'd imagine that's something they're going to talk to him about, and there's probably a lot of things they're going to talk to him about, because once again, it was not a game that felt like his stats indicated, and I'm not sure how he's doing it, but it really was a duck that he lobbed up to Washington.
Yes, it was.
Washington was interfered with about as badly as I've ever seen a receiver be interfered with, and he still managed to catch that. An unreal play on his part. You've got to give him that. I mean, the defender couldn't have done more to break his concentration. And at that point, yeah, it's exactly what he should do, just make sure he doesn't catch the ball, but he still did. It was a horrendous throw. He had a couple really bad throws. He didn't really pay for it, the exception of the one, which, again, was a miscommunication. It would have been probably a 50-50 ball for Washington down the sideline. All told, he's, you know, as Coach Tomlin is saying, he's not killing him. He might have even helped him a little bit. He caught fire there in the second quarter into the third quarter, and the Steelers were able to pull back from a 10-0 deficit, which honestly, at that point in the game, I thought it was going to end 34-3 or something like that. Cleveland was on a roll early. They got some plays from their defense and were able to hang on with some pretty decent quarterback play.
Yeah, he was a 5-year guy at Samford, which, by the way, was the first head coaching stop for Bobby Bowden. Right? He then was cut by the Steelers on the 31st. Then they brought him back in, September 10th, put him on the practice squad. And then Ben got hurt. So then it's a remarkable story. And they're right now the number 6 seed in the playoffs. They're playing.
And they're games above 500.
Right, they're playing better all around football with him at quarterback than the team in the eastern part of the state that has what I think is a really good quarterback in Carson Wentz.
Yeah, none of that situation makes sense. What I think is even funnier is people say Hodges came about because Roethlisberger got hurt. That's the second part of it. Yeah. He came about after they cut him because Jacksonville, who can't decide on a quarterback either, wanted Josh Dobbs. They were willing to give up a fifth-round pick for Josh Dobbs.
Right.
That's why Hodges was on the practice squad.
Right.
So the whole thing, just the odds of all of this happening, were slim to none. I mean, this is the beginning part of a cheesy Disney movie. You know, this is the part where he catches fire from some magical spirit somewhere, and I've obviously been watching the Disney app way too much lately. Top to bottom, it's none of it makes any sense, and I've said it for a couple of weeks in a row now. It's a lot of fun. You enjoy it because I just feel like the other shoe is going to drop next week. You know, this can't continue, can it? I mean, this is a game now. If we're going to be serious about the Steelers in the playoffs, this is a game they have to win. I mean, I know that it's not the consequence game in terms of tiebreaker scenarios with Tennessee, another team that's winning with the backup quarterback.
Yes. Yeah.
They don't need to win this, but in terms of their opponents down the stretch here, they do. They're going to probably have to get to 10 wins to get the 6 seed in the AFC. The way that it looks right now, 10 wins is going to have to do it for them.
I watch the Steelers right now, and look, with all due respect to the quarterback, who, by the way, went 17-24 for over 200, a touchdown and a pick. I mean, so good, solid numbers. But I'm getting a sense the Steelers are doing everything they can to limit possessions in the game because their defense is that good.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I mean, we can talk about the offense, you know, as much as we want, and that's the NFL nowadays. You have to recognize the Steelers' defense is capable of shutting anybody down over 5 drives in a game. And that's a pretty remarkable achievement in today's NFL. You're not able to do that. But it's not as if this is all J.J. Watt or Minka Fitzpatrick, the 2 guys that are getting the most notoriety. They're getting outstanding play from a lot of players.
They sure are.
And it's a game-to-game thing. Cam Hayward, who we were talking about before we went on, he might be having his quietest and best season. And he was a monster a couple of years ago. He's been one of the most underrated players in the game for a while now, but he's doing a remarkable job. And that's without Stephon Tuitt, who was on pace to shatter any career marks he might have had up to that point. He was at a Pro Bowl level when he went down. Hayward's getting back in there. Bud Dupree, he might be a fringe Pro Bowl type of player. He's a guy that's going to get paid a huge amount next year with the way that he's playing right now. You're getting improving play out of Devin Bush. We're seeing him do athletic things each and every week. He seems to be getting more and more comfortable. But above all else, tell me if you would have thought this in the laundry list of things that would have made no sense back in August, Steelers might have the best pair of cornerbacks in the NFL. I mean, you know, maybe not at the top, but they're in the conversation. Joe Hayden and Steven Nelson are both playing phenomenal football. Without question, the best we've seen of Steelers cornerbacks in I don't even know how long before the officials started flagging them for everything down the field. They're doing a great job. You got to think about Kevin Colbert. You know, possibly in some respects, executive of the year, just because of a few, not all. Certainly there's some misses in there as well. But the acquisition against Fitzpatrick, the signing of Nelson, these are significant moves that have helped the defense go from every now and again pretty good but generally middle of the pack to one of the top 5 units in the game. That's a remarkable achievement for everything that franchise went through this offseason.
See, I think when I look at Fitzpatrick, I see Hayward doing a great job, Watt doing a great job, and let's give Dupree credit. He's played very, very well, which then in turn helps Fitzpatrick. But I think then the other part is, I think Fitzpatrick out there has helped both Nelson and Hayden.
It's a symbiotic relationship, you know, that's defense. Defense is more of a team-oriented unit than offense is. I think defensively you rely on everybody else who's around you. And that's exactly what we're seeing. One is helping the other, and the other is helping that one back. Fitzpatrick probably isn't the same type of player that he's been statistically without the kind of pass rush that's going in front of him. It's causing quarterbacks to get rid of the ball a bit quicker than they probably would. Receivers aren't seeing it coming because the receiver and the quarterback aren't in rhythm. And Fitzpatrick is just sensing where the ball is going to go, and he's able to make the play on it. You need all of those things defensively, and they're putting it together. And it just from where they were 2 years ago, last year, yeah, week one this year, it's been a remarkable change, and it's change that's fairly sustainable. You know, they're going to lose two huge parts. We haven't mentioned Hargrave yet. Right. Javon Hargrave has done a phenomenal job in what he's been asked to do, and I think we sensed that was going to happen for him this year. A great second half of last season. Heading into free agency, he and Bud Dupree are probably going to be the top dollar earners on the defensive side of the ball in free agency, and they're both playing like it now. All of these things put together, it just goes to show they've been trying so hard to get a defense of this caliber together. It's obvious that it's been a priority. They've wanted to emphasize it. Now, unfortunately, they don't get a whole lot of time before a couple of these guys get expensive, but they've got plans in place to continue this as much as they can, and they're going to get to it back next year. So you've got the makings of a pretty dominant defense over a couple year stretch here.
They certainly, let's give them credit, they made look, you're not going to make every move the right move, but if you can make most of them, okay, you put yourself in the spot. What does it mean getting Pouncey back this week?
I definitely think it helps. I mean, if nothing else, you saw how the team rallied around his absence. You know, they put him on FaceTime and gave him the game ball after this win against Cleveland. It's obvious that they noticed what happened the last time they played Cleveland. They saw what Pouncey did, and they were motivated by it. I'm not saying that made them a better team and that's what won them the game or anything like that. But as far as team building is concerned, it was a completely different message not that long ago when somebody else popped in a video chat app within their locker room than the one they have now.
Right.
So that's a step in the other direction for where they're going. They're building a team. I think that's the most exciting part about all of this. They're not Baltimore this year. They're not going to beat Baltimore. John Harbaugh is, in my question, without a doubt, the coach of the year, even with Mike Tomlin doing the best coaching job I think he's ever done. They're not at that level this year. But they've got a puncher's chance to put things together to challenge that team next year with what they're doing now. Mm-hmm. And I think Pouncey is a leader. He's a centerpiece of all of that. He's been around long enough, and he's respected enough across the league that he's going to be able to lead and motivate what's otherwise a very young offensive group. And he's a positive leader. He's the type of guy that is getting those guys to do more than what they're perhaps capable of doing on their own. And you put all those things together, that's when you create teams that can win 11, 12 games. Two or three of them, they had no business winning in the first place. So it's exciting to see what they're able to do, if not a bit mystifying as to how they're doing it. They're giving fans something to kind of turn their heads about, and what could have been legitimately a 4 or 5 win year. They're way above that, and they've got a chance at a playoff game. Yeah. And with that defense, I don't know if any offense really wants to play them, postseason or otherwise.
Right. Thoughts on the Cardinals on their matchup this weekend?
I think the difficult thing with another team that's just kind of in a transition period, sort of like the Steelers are, they've got a first-year head coach, first-year quarterback who's got a boatload of talent.
Yeah.
You watch Kyler Murray play week one through this past week, you see a player who's really transforming himself. He's not the same player that he was at the beginning. He's still a rookie in a lot of ways, but you have to worry about him throwing the ball a lot more now than he did early. He's seeing more of the field. I think he's getting more comfortable. That's a dangerous kind of player because in my mind, that's the kind of kid that out of nowhere, he's going to drop a career game on you. And I think he's capable of doing that. The Steelers haven't really, certainly recently, played an offense that's doing the kinds of things that Arizona is doing. They're a dangerous team. You know, San Francisco saw that firsthand a couple weeks ago. I think they're short on talent now, but a lot of what Coach Kingsbury is doing is, I think it's resonating with the players that they have now. I think they've got a very bright future. It was a smart move of them to hire Kingsbury, and I think they're going in the right direction. It's going to be tough. I think the Steelers are capable of winning it, but I keep saying this. It's really hard to bet on a team with the lesser of two quarterbacks when they're on the road. You know, I really can't pick Duck Hodges to have another game like he did. I can't think that he's not, you know, a shade away from a four turnover meltdown here. They're going to need a lot to beat everybody. It doesn't matter. The talent of team is completely irrelevant. Like Tomlin said, you know, the gray faceless bodies that they're going against, it doesn't make a difference who they're playing. Their biggest opponent is themselves. And they're going to have to do a lot to come together to put up a winning performance. But I think they can beat Arizona. Arizona's certainly not an invincible team. Just a very unique challenge. It's going to take a real tough week of practice. But they're capable of doing it. I think that they are. This is not a game they're going to overlook, for sure.
Well, I think that shows you, and just a final point, it shows you the difference between the one pick and the sixth pick. Murray, to his credit, has been getting better and better and better. Daniel Jones of the Giants has not. Now, it could be for a variety of reasons, but he has not. And Murray, to his credit, has been. Now, it could be, again, for the same, you know, different variety of reasons with people around him, but that's the difference between one and six. All right. We'll set that date for the duck hunting thing. All set. Let's be honest about it. Neither one of us will even fire a shot, but that's okay.
I don't know how. I was just going to kind of go along.
Yeah.
Carry some equipment or something.
No, I think the two of us were just going to go out, meet someplace, and go, let's go to a restaurant and eat.
too cold.
It's too cold. It's too a lot of things. I don't want to do it.
You can order duck.
That's fine. I'm good with that.
With gravy or orange sauce. All right. Thanks. All right. Thanks so much, Neil.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks to Neil Coulong for being on the show today. Neil shows up every week, all part of our loyalty rewards program. That, of course, includes you, Sean.
That's right.
And includes Gary.
Super G.
Who gets more good publicity out of this show than anything else he does.
Priceless. He can't put a price tag on that. No way. I mean, how many people came up to you and I Saturday just gleaming and so impressed with his appearance on the show here last Friday?
Yes, actually, that's true.
Very true.
But if he wasn't linked to the Tom McGrath tailgate, then it wouldn't have happened. So
that's
right. In the end,
it all circles back to Tommy Mac.
Okay. Now, I mean, play that back on the podcast.
Right.
All right. All right, one final half hour to go in today's show. Great to have you with us. By the way, Tony Knopp's going to be back with us next week.
Next Tuesday, yes.
Really looking forward to our sit-down with him.
Get a wideout report from him.
Yes, Penn State, Wake Forest, tomorrow night, 9:15, 8:30 will be the airtime.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final stretch of the show here today. News Radio 1070 WKOK with Sean and Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. There is Tuesday
Pretty
night court tonight.
Part of the loyalty rewards program, I might add.
Yes, that's right. Punch my card, please. I do a few more.
Yeah.
A few more points here.
Yeah. No, you're moving up.
Good. We'll take it.
You're moving up. I mean, you were at 100% on Saturday.
Right.
It's like watching the Tower of Terror for you.
Right. So, as we were going to mention here, Bucknell Rider basketball tonight, Eagle 107, 6:30 pregame, yeah. 7 o'clock tip. So tonight, talk to Santa only here on WKOK.
Right.
There you go.
That is, that's going to be... Bucknell's now in a spot. How close are they to finals? I'm going to say next week. Bucknell's usually a week earlier than
that. This is the next to last game they have before their finals break. They're at Ryder tonight. Saturday, they're back home at Soica against Albany. Then they'll take their finals break, and then they're off the court for 2 weeks. Then they're back at Siena December 21st, and then December 28th at LaSalle. Then after that, they'll jump into Patriot League play.
Oh, cool. All
yes.
Right. You know, and as I was saying to Bob Buehner, I understand where you and Bob were coming from about, say, a Patriot League team has an awesome year and a great record and the whole thing. Why can't they be an at-large team? It's not out of the realm of possibility, but again, it goes to the grind of, right, for example, Penn State will open up Big Ten play this weekend. Well, Penn State's going to play at Ohio State and play at Maryland. Right, that's just the start. I mean, when you're doing that game in, game out, game in, game out, game in, game out, I mean, that's why you're seeing the Power Five. It's more than just perception, it's reality. That's why you see the Power Five get more credit. Let's take football, for example. I was talking with Matt Park, who does Syracuse, and Dave Willishin, who does Memphis. And we were talking at breakfast the other day when the three of us were in Brooklyn together. And, of course, you know, Dave's hoping, he's hoping sincerely that Memphis can somehow get to the Cotton Bowl, which means they would have to beat Cincinnati this week. And I think Memphis will beat Cincinnati, and I think they will get there. And Memphis is a really good team. That would be a really tough matchup for anybody. But as I said, the difference is, I said, with all due respect, I said, let's just see what Penn State did. They played at Iowa. Then the next game was Michigan. Then they played at Michigan State. And then they played at Minnesota. And then they played home with Indiana. Then they played at Ohio State. I said, that's the difference between the ACC and the American Conference. It's the consecutive games like that that you play back to back to back to back to back like that, where instead of gearing up for the big game, Memphis is going to play UCF. Gear up for the big game, Memphis is going to play Cincinnati. I think they had one with SMU, too. I said, but you can gear up for the big game. The problem is, in the Big Ten, that once you're done with the big game, well, you go right back to work, because guess what? Next week's a big game. And that's what Minnesota ran into at the end of the year. They went along, they won some tight games early, but then they went through a schedule, boom, 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 boom. Then they geared up for the big game with Penn State. And then, oh, geez, now we got to come back and play another big game next week? Iowa? You're kidding me. And they went there and they didn't win. Then they had another big game with Wisconsin, they didn't win. So they, when they finally hit the stretch of big games, you can get up for a game. It's the ability to get up for a game that followed by another big game, then you follow with another big game, then you follow with another big game. See, that's the difference. And now let's bring it back to basketball. Penn State plays, well, right now in this stretch where they're playing, you know, they played Ole Miss, Syracuse, they got Wake Forest tomorrow night, then they've got at Ohio State, then they've got a home game with Maryland, then they got Alabama. Which then gets us to the Big Ten schedule. In the Big Ten schedule, you play Iowa, then you follow that up by playing Michigan State. Oh, then you follow that up by playing Wisconsin. Oh, a game unto itself
is a big game. But the problem is that the second you've had success or failure in the big game, you take one deep breath and realize, oh, you've got another game of similar caliber coming up right away. And then after that game, you've got another game of similar caliber coming up right away. So there are no breathers in there along the way. That's why you see so many of the Power Five get at-large bids and things like that, because they have to go through that grind all the time. It doesn't mean what Bucknell does is not a grind. Bucknell, it is a grind, except it's a grind on that level. In other words, could Bucknell survive the grind of... Bucknell can go and play Penn State. Great. Could they then go play... Which they did. They played Penn State, they played Syracuse back-to-back, right? It didn't go well. But then they'd have to follow it up and play Wake Forest. Then they'd have to follow it up and play Ohio State. Then they'd have to follow it up and play Maryland. Then they'd have to follow it up and play Alabama. See, there's just a difference in, quote, the caliber of team that you play over and over and over and over again. And now we're going to play the waiting game in football for Saturday. The waiting game.
Yes. Oh, by the way, Bucknell's fall schedule. Classes end next Tuesday, the 10th. Finals start next Thursday, the 12th. They wrap up the following Thursday, the 19th.
That's pretty close to Penn State. Penn State goes Monday. Actually, no, that's not true. Penn State goes Monday, the 17th through Friday, the 20th. Because I know I have one more class to teach, and it's next Monday.
And then the final. Or have the students have, or have they been working or have they been working on their final projects the last few weeks or so?
No, their final project's due next Monday.
Okay.
So they have that. In fact, Cameron Gregory lives in Bloomsburg. So she's, you know, she couldn't make class because of the weather the other day, which I told her on Sunday, don't do it. Don't show up for class. But her family lives in Bloomsburg. So yeah, they have one more to do, and that's the final. In other words, finals week, we will not meet. We'll get this done before finals week.
I've never had a teacher in my 5.5 years of education at Lock Haven University say, don't come to class.
Well,
but that's a different situation.
I'm different in that regard. I mean, I'm different in that regard.
Well, she would have had to take an I-80 on a good stretch to get back to State College, and that was a little dicey on Sunday. So,
well, I just think that right now we're first of all, number one, I don't want to embarrass her here, but she's a very good student. She's a very good student. She shows up to every class, and she does good work. Now, am I going to sit there and force her to come to class when I would be very uncomfortable in making her do that? That's not fair to her, and I'd rather have her here on December 10th as opposed to being here on December 9th as opposed to having her be here on December 2nd or trying to fight through an ice storm, a snowstorm, and everything else to get there. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, going through stuff like that's not fun.
Right, that makes no sense to me.
No.
You don't force people to do something, especially when somebody already does everything, like checks every box of, okay, wants to learn, hard worker, turns in good projects, very attentive in class. Right? Well, you know, those are four major boxes, checks every one of them. What, I'm going to make, even if she was a mediocre student, I would have told her the same thing. It's not worth it to me. That's not worth it. What's worth it to me is that everybody's okay. If they need something, we can figure it out. Now, I try to be as accommodating as possible because especially in certain areas, because I think it's really important to be that way. You know, it's the same thing with this. I mean, if there's bad weather, I would never in a million years. You're like the horse. You keep going through the, you keep plowing your way through the fields to get to the station all the time.
Although I didn't tell you this, after I left the show Friday night going home,
yeah,
my battery died in the car.
Oh, really?
Luckily, I have one of those Halo bolts that I just keep in the glove box. I've had it there for a little over a year.
Right.
It's like, in a way, I was kind of like, oh, cool, now I get to test this Halo out. And I'm thinking, ew, but if it doesn't work, I'm going to be stuck here for for a little while longer. But worked like a charm and was able to get to the shop and get a battery Friday night, have it installed, and all worked out great. So that happened Friday night. And then Saturday night, I didn't even tell you this. Then Saturday night, after leaving the Tom McGrath tailgate, I get a speeding ticket. I get a speeding ticket on the way home.
After having to deal with me after the game, you probably couldn't get out there fast enough.
No, that escapade had nothing to do with the speeding ticket. It did. So, other than that, it was a great weekend. Other than those two little blips on the radar.
You need to mention, by the way, like Tom McGrath tailgate, Gary Olszewski.
Nah, it wouldn't have worked. That was a young buck that pulled me over. He wouldn't have any clue what I was talking about. But you did ask me.
Excuse me,
it wouldn't have worked. And that's not a knock on Tom. It's not a knock on Super G, but it's like, he was a young kid. He goes, "You're on the way home from the Penn State game." I'm wearing a Penn State jacket with a Penn State sweatshirt on underneath and a Penn State ball cap. But I didn't say anything. I kept my integrity in check. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to get any more trouble than I was already in.
And then, of course, this is the same car that hit the deer antlers on the side of the road.
Oh, geez. Yeah. 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 It's been a fun month on the road.
And he tells me, should I drop the suit's name at the... at the garage.
Well, I did that for fun, just to see what kind of response you tell me, because I knew what your response would have been.
And my response was simple. I said, "Why? Wait a month?"
Right. And I was like, "You're coming home from the Penn State game?" It's like, "No, I'm coming home from the Pitt game." I think I was coming from.
Well, offense, we're starting to sound a little bitter here.
I was.
I don't blame you, because I'd be like, "Oh, you got to be kidding."
Well, I'll explain it to you after the show where I got flagged at, and you'll know exactly where it happened when I tell you. So,
great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep. The exact same spot where I got pulled over. I was on my way to a Penn State Ohio State wideout nighttime game. I want to say close to 10 years ago, and it was almost the exact same spot I got pulled over. But I don't think so that's what my better half said when I broke the news to her on Sunday. I had to find the right spot to tell her so she wouldn't be too upset. And she goes, that's the exact same spot you got pulled over last time after on a Penn State game night. I said, yeah.
I'll give you credit. I mean, picking a time when she's asleep, perfect.
Yes. Honey, I told you last night. You mean you didn't remember?
What's this in the mail? Nothing. It's all good.
Suspension? License? What?
Do not pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
So anyway, I'm not bringing up this ticket thing for sympathy or GoFundMe or anything like that. I'm just bringing it up for entertainment value for the audience. So.
Oh, you sound very entertained. All right, well...
Well, it's funny because my wife told her coworkers that yesterday. Oh, yeah, he got pulled over, and she told him exactly where I got pulled over at Saturday night. And one or two people said, "Yeah, we saw that cop in that exact same spot, and we drove past him."
Oh.
Deb, I said to Deb, did you ask him, oh, did you get pulled over too?
Oh, boy.
58 and a 40. Ew.
Ooh. Oh, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in a unique, one of those spots, yeah. You just leisurely cruise along, listening to the Steve Jones Show podcast. You just don't know how fast you're going.
And again, it's my fault.
No,
It always circles back. I got it. It's fine.
No.
I got it. It's fine. Hey, did he ask you, do you know what the speed limit is? Yeah, it's 58. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, so the Dabo Sweeney Paul Feinbaum mini feud, where Feinbaum referred to Dabo Sweeney, who was complaining about their lack of recognition this year. Feinbaum said he's the most annoying winner in all of sports. Said the guy just can't keep his trap shut. Somebody just give the man a pacifier, send him to timeout, and we'll check in with him on December 28th when he finally plays a legitimate team during the entire college football season. Sweeney was unaware of Feinbaum's comment. He says, I hate I missed it. I'm sure it was riveting. And then he went on to say, I like Paul. Paul's great at what he does. I'm not going to dislike somebody because he's great at his job. A lot of people don't like me because I'm good at my job or because I wear this logo, pointing to the tiger paw. They don't know me as a person. They just don't like me because I'm passionate about doing a good job. He works for the SEC. That's what he does, and that is his job. Feinbaum is great at what he does. What does he do? Which way do we need it to go? He creates great conversation, great drama. He says, we're the Red Sox. He's the Yankees. We're not going to have a Yankees guy stand up and talk great things about the Red Sox. That's not what he's paid to do. He said, one of the best lessons I've learned is that you don't worry about criticism from people you wouldn't seek advice from. I'll be honest with you. I know exactly where he's coming from on that, because you've heard me talk about that before. Why do you want advice from somebody that you wouldn't go to for advice? It's interesting because, and I don't want to sound like it's name dropping, but I mean, it's something that did happen. But Gus Johnson and I were talking about this a week ago. And we were talking about social media and so forth. And Gus was telling me that at times he's felt beat up on social media and that he felt... And I said, Gus, you can't read that stuff. You just can't. He goes, no, I've stopped, Steve. I've stopped. And I said, well, you have to stop. I said, because, number one, I said, they can't do your job. Okay? If it's somebody that could do your job... Now they're worthy of listening to it. They know what the traffic's like. They know how you're supposed to get into something, get out of something. They know the various things that the truck wants you to do, needs you to do, and so forth. I said, they don't know any of that stuff. People talking in your ear when you're trying to talk. I said, nobody knows that. I said, and you know how you want to call a game. I said, you can't pay it. He says, nah, Steve, I stopped. You know, he told me how many months ago he stopped it. He said, because it ends up changing you. No, he doesn't call this kind of play right. So then you try changing how you call the play, and it's not right, and it's not natural for you.
And that's and same thing with Dabo Swinney here. It's one of the best lessons I've learned is you don't worry about criticism from people you would not seek advice from. Exactly. That's useful advice for anybody in any profession. In any profession, you don't take advice from people that you personally would not seek advice from. It's just the way it is. I mean, nobody knows your job. Like what Sean does, Sean is way better at his job, and I could never tell him how to do his job. I don't do Sean's job. He's way better than I am. So I have no suggestions for him because I completely trust he knows exactly what he's doing and why. And we're in the same profession.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.